Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, November the 29th, 2023, 19 minutes past the hour, 22 degrees, and sunny skies in the Marion area. You know, sunny skies is kind of a misnomer right now for this day. 22 degrees here in late November, last Wednesday in the month of November. Friday will bring in the month of December. It is cold, but apparently some warm temperatures on the way, not too far away. A lot of things I want to talk about here this morning. Yesterday we had the interview with Mayor Scott Schertzer. It was our next to last interview. He will have one more appearance on the show before he leaves office on January the 1st, after 16 years. And I thought Mayor Schertzer continued to be very revealing yesterday. Very good interview. He talked about the elections, what's going on in Marion with the Democratic Party. He talked about the auditor and the situations that office continues to be in. Talked about Bill Collins and gave his thoughts on how he thought Bill would do. Talked about the comments that former Mayor Jack Kellogg had made on this program last Wednesday, a week ago today. I really enjoyed the interview with the mayor. Does anybody have anything to say about Mayor Schertzer's appearance yesterday? If you do, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I would love to hear your input on that particular interview, because I have found Mayor Schertzer to be a lot more candid in the last few months, which I think is a very good thing. Now, maybe that's because the end of his term is coming up, or maybe he just now has some things he would like to speak out on as he heads on to the next level of his career. Certainly sounds to me as if he's going to stay in the political arena, which he has said that it's in his blood. I don't know where he'll end up. I think certainly, as he has said, he'd like to run for treasurer of the state. I don't know if that will be where he will end up. I don't know if it will be a local office. I think he's taking it day by day at this point and making a decision that will suit he and his family best, which certainly nothing wrong with that. But if you have anything to say about the interview, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. You know what I found interesting about that whole interview was the fact that the auditor's office apparently continues to be a major problem. And to the degree that Mayor Schertzer said yesterday, one thing he wants to try to fix in the little over month he has left in office is the auditor's office. That's something he wants to work on. I still don't really know what's happened there. I don't know if anybody could really explain it day to day, what has happened with the auditor's office, but we are where we are. So at this point, I'm not really sure what you do aside from deal with it and see what's going on. It's very clear that I don't think Miranda McGinnis, the auditor, is going to be leaving, even though people have called for her resignation. And, you know, I don't even know that she should leave. It's her decision to leave or not. She feels she shouldn't. All these fines continuing to be racked up. We keep hearing about all this. I'm not sure. I just don't know. what has happened there. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about this, because this is city money. December 11th, we're going to vote on this pay raise for the mayor, the auditor, and I believe the law director. Do you think the mayor, the auditor, and the law director should receive a raise come January the 1st with the fines accruing? Apparently, we learned yesterday that the treasurer's books and the auditor's books are not the same. They're not matching. And to come up with a budget is going to be very, very difficult, because I don't know that anybody knows exactly how much or where the money is. It's all very confusing, apparently, unless you're a CPA or know what's going on inside these offices. And at this point, I don't know that anybody does. I hope the auditor does. I hope everything gets better. I don't know. Bill Collins has said he would like to put somebody with some expertise in finances in that office to work along with the auditor. Do you think that could help? Do you think that could resolve the situation? I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on what's going on with the auditor's office or the interview with the mayor yesterday? Give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If there's anything on your mind. Now, yesterday, I brought up the news that I had learned. And again, I can't confirm any of this, but I got this on a pretty got this from a pretty reliable source, that Chipotle, which is currently on Mount Vernon Avenue here in Marion, kind of in the strip mall down here with Urgent Care, will be moving to Delaware Avenue at some point in the location, on the spot, where BP used to be, BP gas station. Do you remember where that used to be? It's been gone for quite some time now. It's right across the street from where Speedway is on Delaware Avenue, right next door to Arby's on Delaware Avenue. That's where I hear Chipotle will be moving. Now, this is kind of interesting, because Chipotle will be moving from the busy side of town to the not-so-busy part of town. And also, that area is kind of interesting right now, because with all of those traffic, I don't even know what you call them. Are they're not traffic cones, traffic barriers. What do you call those things on Delaware Avenue and Barks Road right now? Are they cones? Are they barriers? I don't know. Makes it very difficult to get in and out of Wendy's, get in and out of Arby's, places like that. And that will be right where Chipotle will be, right there on the corner of Barks Road and Delaware Avenue. Do you think this is a good move for Chipotle? You know, they have a very unique type of food there. And I know a lot of people like it. But will they go to Delaware Avenue to get that type of food? I know that's hurt a lot of businesses over the years to move to the south end of town. You know, when we look at the south end of town now, what do we have over there restaurant-wise? Sans Soda's still does pretty well, but Sans Soda's has pretty well been there since the beginning of their run. Andrew's pretty well the same thing. But all the others seem to be chain restaurants. I mean, it's McDonald's. It's, what else do we have over there? Arby's. We have Burger King. We have Wendy's. That's pretty well it, isn't it? We have El Campesino over there. But again, that was their original location, so probably why that's still working. And I don't even think the Marion Diner is in business anymore. And I could not tell you the last time I was in the mall, so I don't know how that's doing. I know Kroger does very well over there. Does anybody know anything about the Marion Diner? You know, we never really talked about that. The Marion Diner was just about the only sit-down non-drive-through restaurant over there, aside from El Campesino and San Sodas, and it just seemed to go away in the middle of the night. And I always thought the Marion Diner did pretty good business, but maybe not. Or maybe there was another problem. I really don't know what happened with the Marion Diner, but no longer there. But maybe that will leave an opening for Chipotle. Maybe that will fare on the good side. What do you think? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right. Well, we've got Christmas in Caledonia coming up on Saturday, December the 9th. Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson, myself, Sean Kraft, will all be over in Caledonia lighting the tree, singing Christmas carols. I'll be reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas." That'll be Saturday night, December the 9th at 6:15 p.m. Look forward to that. You know, as I said before, I've never lived in Caledonia in my life, but this is how shaky I am on facts. I believe my father was born in Caledonia, so I'm almost sure that's right. I know he lived there for most of his life with his parents. And my grandparents lived there for a long, long time, definitely into the 2000s. So I feel kind of, I don't know, what would you call it? I feel kind of connected to Caledonia in a way, to go over there and do the tree lighting because of those things, because I do think my father was born there. He certainly is buried over there in Caledonia, which, you know, I take heat on this all the time for not going over to the gravesite, but I'm telling you, that Caledonia Cemetery is very strict on what you can do with the cemetery, the tombstones. You know, what kind of things you can put out. And I just don't see, and I know a lot of people do, I just don't see planting flowers in the cemetery because I know I will never go back to water them. And typically when people plant these flowers in the cemetery, it's spring and they need to be watered. And I don't know. I think they should allow you to put artificial flowers in the cemetery. This is always a pet peeve I have around Memorial Day, but I guess that's really not the topic of conversation this morning. It's just a connection to Caledonia. So I think I have a connection. Now, over the years, I've met a lot of interesting people in Caledonia. I think some of them still live over there. So we'll see what happens. Christmas in Caledonia on December the 9th. You know, I did this 2 years ago. I didn't have Matt and Carrington with me at that time, but I had a good time with Christmas in Caledonia back in 2021, I believe it was. So I'm kind of glad to go back this year on December the 9th and have a good time. I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fun. If it's anything like the tree lighting here in Marion this past weekend, I'm sure everything will turn out great. So that's coming up on December the 9th. Now, let's get to the Christmas cards. Christmas cards. Every year here at this station, we have always done this. If you send us a Christmas card and you put a return address in it, we will read it on the air and we will send you a Christmas card back. But we do have a new address this year that I need to give you. Christmas cards should be sent to WGH Talk, 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, and, of course, that's Marion, Ohio, 43302. Let me give that to you again. 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, Marion, Ohio, 43302. So send those Christmas cards. Make sure you put a return address in there. We'll read your Christmas card on the air, and we will make sure you get a Christmas card back as long as you have a return address in that Christmas card. 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, Marion, Ohio, 43302. And again, that's WGH Talk Radio. Okay. Well, that brings us to the old fruitcake toss. The fruitcake toss is becoming quite an event here in Marion. We've got quite a few people entered into the toss. The toss will be Thursday night, December 14th at 7 p.m., broadcast later on that night at 9 p.m. So far, entered into the fruitcake toss, we have Ted Jolliffe, Adam, Dr. Davis, County Commissioner Kerr Murray, Andy Appafeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mayor Jack Kellogg, Fruitcake Lily, who's 10 years old. This will be her third year participating. Pastor Craig, Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, Linda's husband Ed, who won the toss last year, Caleb Rice, Bob Welsh, Mrs. Welsh, George Kasotis, Joanne Kasotis, Sheriff Bales, a representative from the fire department, and Judge Edwards. So that is going to be interesting. Let's see. Does anybody else want to enter somebody into the fruitcake toss? If you do, give me a buzz now, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you'd like to enter anybody into the fruitcake toss, give me a buzz, and we will make that happen. Remember, it does not cost anything to enter anybody into the fruitcake toss. That's all you have to do is call it in. Now, I know there are some outstanding, and by outstanding, I mean we don't have answers on if they're going to be in the fruitcake toss. I believe somebody did nominate Mayor Schertzer. I believe somebody did nominate, who else was nominated that we didn't have an answer for? If we've heard anything back from, I believe Police Chief Jay McDonald. If anybody has any answers on where anybody is with the fruitcake toss right now, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, on fruitcake toss night, we are going to have music this year. It's going to be Carrington and Matt leading the group in a sing-along. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. We will have chestnuts there. Now, remember, if you don't like chestnuts, it's not really chestnuts. It's buckeyes. Matt's mom is making some buckeyes for the big fruitcake toss. So that's where that's going to go on fruitcake toss night. And also on fruitcake toss night, we are going to be presenting former Mayor Jack Kellogg with the Upper Crust Society Award, which, who's in the Upper Crust Society now? It's been going, this is the third year. I'm in the Upper Crust Society. Of course, we have Mary Ellen Withrow, Buckeye Guy, George Kasotis, Marianne Michaels, and Jack Kellogg. And Jack Kellogg will be on hand December 14th to receive his plaque. And again, this was all started by Bob Welsh back in 2021, I believe. And it consists of signing a real pizza crust. And then there's a plaque made up, and it's really become a nice honor here in Marion. I believe the criteria still is somebody who's made a strong contribution to the city of Marion. So that will go on Fruitcake Toss Night, December 14th at 7 p.m., 685 Delaware Avenue. All right. Now, on that note, again, if anybody would like to enter anybody, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But we've already got over 30 people in the fruitcake toss, and I think that's important. A lot of people make that a very fun event, and I have not been to a fruitcake toss, honestly, that was not fun, this being the fourth annual. Now, Donovan Bauer still holds the record, 72 feet, for the fruitcake toss. That's going to be hard to beat. And, you know, back when that happened, which would have been in 2021, I think we're all still amazed that that happened. That this kid, there were a lot of big, strong men out there, and this kid who worked at Donato's at the time probably couldn't have weighed more than 120 pounds, steps up to the line to throw his fruitcake underhanded, and ends up throwing it 72 feet. It was really something. And still holds the record to this day. I believe Ed, Linda's husband, who won last year, threw for 61 feet. So well under the record for the fruitcake toss. But it was enough to win last year. So I guess that's really where it all is. It was enough to win. But that's fruitcake toss. I don't know if Santa will be there that night. I haven't really heard if Santa Claus will be making an appearance. He made an appearance 2 years ago. I don't know. I don't think he was there last year. So we'll have to see what happens. And as I said yesterday, there are a few people who have not been nominated this year who, how should I say this? There are some people who have not been nominated this year who were in the fruitcake toss last year. So if you would like to nominate those people, feel free. Again, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. Okay. Well, yesterday I read the history of fruitcakes. Did anybody get a kick out of that? We learned a lot about fruitcakes yesterday. I'm not going to go through that whole thing again. But it was the magnificent history of the maligned and misunderstood fruitcake. And we kind of learned where it came from and how they last forever and how former President Rutherford B. Hayes has the oldest existing fruitcake that goes back to 1878. I don't know where this fruitcake is, but apparently they stay edible for a long time. And the other thing I learned about the fruitcake yesterday was apparently if you wipe them down with some kind of alcohol, bourbon or rum is what I heard yesterday, they might taste better. Now, I find it hard to believe that they'll taste better, but, that's the way it goes, I guess. So, did anybody like the history of the fruitcake yesterday? 740-751-4038. You know something else I heard yesterday? And I don't know if this is true or not because, let me ask you this. Has anybody else heard this? That this year was the busiest Black Friday in history. It was the busiest Cyber Monday in history. And it was the busiest travel weekend in history. Has anybody heard that? I heard that yesterday, and I have not had a chance to check the facts on that. But has anybody else heard that? Because I'm trying to figure out if we've got a bad economy and things aren't going well financially for people, how we had the best Black Friday ever, the best Cyber Monday ever, and the best travel weekend ever. Something doesn't seem to be going together there. How can we have the best of all of those things if things aren't good financially in the country? Somebody must have some money, I would guess. And it did seem like a lot of stuff was being done. I remember when I went to the station on Friday morning, it did seem like there was a lot of traffic and cars out there. I don't know. I really don't know. Did anybody see anything on this? Was this on any kind of news report that it was a busy Cyber Monday? The busiest. Busiest Black Friday and also a financially good time at this particular point. Give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Also, now here's something else. Now, I saw this yesterday. Now, as many of you know, former First Lady of the United States, Rosalynn Carter, died, I believe, was it last week? I believe she died last week in her 90s. And her husband, former President Jimmy Carter, age 99, is still alive. And he's the oldest living president ever. Former president at age 99. Well, yesterday they had the funeral. And, of course, former President Carter would be at the funeral. And, I mean, it's his wife of over 70 years. Well, here's the problem. President Carter is over 99 years old, and he has been in hospice since February, which now, you know, that's almost a year. And they brought him to the funeral in a wheelchair, and it was one of those wheelchairs where you're kind of laying down. And clearly, he's not in the greatest shape. Number one, 99. Number two, in hospice care. And also, you know, he just recently lost his wife of over 70 years. So President Carter, obviously not in the best shape. But I could not believe all the pictures that were taken of this man and posted online in this condition. Because my guess is normally, if his wife had not died, he would not be making any public appearances. I don't understand why people wanted to post those pictures everywhere. I mean, of course the man wanted to attend the funeral of his wife of over 70 years, and clearly he's not in the best of health. But why did people feel the need to take pictures of him and post them all over? I don't know. Does anybody understand that? Couldn't we have just said that he was there? And, I mean, I understand that the camera would have probably passed by him at some point and maybe got a picture. But there were pictures all over the place of him not looking very well. And I don't know that that was the proper thing to do. Was that really necessary to show this man, obviously at the end of his life, over 99 years old and in hospice care, grieving his wife, showing these pictures? Was that really what needed to be done? I mean, I don't. Does anybody have an opinion on this? Did anybody watch the funeral yesterday? You know, I think because it's the holiday season, it's really not gotten a lot of attention. And also, the Carters were president and first lady quite a while ago in the 1970s. I just did not understand why everybody needed to snap a picture of Jimmy Carter, and why everybody needed to show that, and why it needed to be a story. Now, what is the story in that? What is the story? Clearly, we know he's upset. He's lost his wife. Clearly, we know the man's in hospice, and clearly, we know that he's over 99 years old. Now, why did we need to see pictures of him looking the way he did? I don't. Maybe he wouldn't care that these pictures were taken, but I'm guessing he would, because, again, I doubt he would have been out had it not been the death of his wife. That's probably the only thing that would have brought this man out of his house. Did anybody else find a problem with this? Is it just me? Give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Did anybody else think this was a problem? Did anybody watch the funeral for Rosalynn Carter yesterday? Like I said, I don't know if a lot of people did because of the holiday season, her dying the weekend before Thanksgiving. I think it's kind of got lost in the shuffle of things. But boy, I saw the pictures of Jimmy Carter everywhere. My goodness. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why that was necessary. What is the news story in that? I don't know. That's my pet peeve of the morning. Maybe nobody else had a problem with it, or maybe nobody else saw it. You know, if you didn't see it, that's probably a good thing. And I'm not... I wouldn't even know how to explain it, except the fact that clearly he's 99, and clearly he was in one of those wheelchairs that kind of lays you back because you're not in good health and really can't do a whole lot anymore. I don't know. I just didn't like it. I think the man obviously has every right to go to his wife's funeral, but just in that condition, why take pictures? Why take pictures of the man? That's what I did not understand. And put them on newspapers and magazines. And they really made a story of that. Jimmy Carter, former President Jimmy Carter, makes rare public appearance. Well, of course he's going to make a public appearance. It's his wife. She died. Who knows? You know, some things are just beyond me anymore. But I guess in a world where everybody's got a picture, a camera, everybody's got a camera in their cell phone, people can do anything. And I don't know. Where is our judgment on things is what I would like to know. Where is the judgment on if we should do something? Do we have any kind of moral code anymore where we say, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe that's not the best idea. Maybe we should let this man mourn his wife in peace. I don't know if we have that anymore. I don't know if we have that compass. I don't know. Does anybody else have a thought? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does anybody have a thought on this particular subject? All right. Looks like we've got a call coming here. Hopefully somebody does. Go ahead, caller.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Well, you know, but see, I don't even know that this is a bleeding story. I think that we all...
Well, it depicts somebody in a negative light. You know, they're not at their best, so that's what people like.
Well, it just shocked... I'll tell you why it shocked me, because I go along with if it bleeds, it leads. People do want to know about murders and fires and things like that. I get that. But a former president, 99 in hospice, mourning his wife's death, which is probably the only thing that would have brought him out. What what's the story there?
Well, have you ever noticed that, though? I mean, like, if things are loving or happy or kind or nice or good, like, nobody wants to hear about that.
Well, that's right. And I'll tell you what, if Jimmy Carter was in good health and had shown up to his wife's funeral, it wouldn't have been a story at all.
Exactly.
I mean, did you...
Okay, so, have you heard from Chip?
You know, I haven't talked to Chip recently.
Okay, just checking our progress on that. And then, I've still been out picking up chicks. I got a new chick for you.
Oh, a new fruitcake. You didn't really say much about this, Sheila Evans. Now, what age category is she in?
I think that's very polite to ask.
I'm asking.
Do you know the address at all?
Oh, well, I'm with those Jimmy Carter people yesterday snapping pictures, I guess. No, we all want some kind of idea of, you know, who's participating and who might win this year.
Pick an age frame. I could put her in a frame, but I'm not going to give her exact age.
Well, like 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80?
40 to 60.
Okay.
You know, the same category that we're in that 40 to 60 category.
40 to 60 age range. Okay. Now,
do you want to know, do you want the information of the new entrant?
Yes, the new entrants.
Now, okay. Her name is Carrie Grigsby.
Carrie Grigsby?
Yes.
Okay.
Carrie Grigsby.
Carrie Grigsby. Now, what range is Carrie Grigsby in?
Carrie Grigsby will be in the 40 to 60 category.
same thing as well. So now, as I said yesterday, I think we have more women ever than we've ever had in the fruitcake toss before. So it's quite possible that a woman could win the fruitcake toss this year.
True.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because as much as I hate to say it, you know, like, I'm all for the women, dudes are always stronger than chicks, so I don't see that happening.
Well, you know, I would go along with that, but to be honest with you, when that young boy, Donovan Bauer, stepped up there and beat all these big, strong men, I thought, well, maybe it really doesn't have anything to do with strength, because I certainly don't think he was stronger than the men he was throwing against that year.
Well, I guess.
I think it's technique, but I'm glad you're out there scoping it out for us, because we've still got a few weeks left here.
So you don't think there's any way that you would, like, let a girl have a girl competition and a boy competition winner?
Well, I don't know. I was talking to Bob about that when he was up here last week, and it's possible that we might do. I actually think that award would probably be more suitable than, like, most improved or things, because I'm not sure that we have great records. I was looking at the record from last year, which I know Linda took, and I was confused because there are people who participated last year, like myself, who are not written down in the record. So I don't know if Bob snapped the picture before the Linda had written everything down or what happened, because there are people's names missing from that particular record.
Right. I mean, I think that's a good idea, like king and queen.
Well, yeah, and that was always done with the peanut push. You know, I don't even know if there are any women who participate anymore. The year that I participated in the peanut push, which has been quite a while ago now, I don't remember seeing any women at all in the peanut push.
Well, it'll be exciting, that's for sure.
Well, I'm getting ready. It's going to be fruitcake toss-palooza. It's going to be exciting.
I'm going to go back to picking up chicks for you.
Keep picking up the chicks. Thanks.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right, another name for the fruitcake toss, Carrie Grigsby, G-R-I-G-S-B-Y, Carrie Grigsby, joins Sheila Evans as the people that Sarah has picked up, the chicks that Sarah is picking up for the fruitcake toss, which brings us to the mid-30s on this year's fruitcake toss. We're all looking forward to this. And again, if you know nothing about the fruitcake toss, you'll walk up to a line on Thursday night, December the 14th, with an actual Claxton fruitcake, and you'll toss it. And the winner will be determined by distance. Now, as Sarah brought up there, do you think there should be a women's division? I don't know. Or should we all just throw and somebody say, well, this is the woman who threw the farthest and this is the man who threw the farthest? I don't know. You know, I'm torn on that, because one of the reasons that we created this was so everybody could participate, male, female, no matter what your age is, because some competitions, that's kind of hard to do. Because if you're past a certain age, it's hard to participate in some of these competitions. But I think anybody can throw a fruitcake, even if you can't throw it very far. So I don't know. I really, really don't know. What do you think? Do you think we should have a women's division when it comes to the fruitcake toss? 57 minutes past the hour here. Give me a buzz. Let me know what you think. 740-751-4038. Now, how many women do we have in it this year? We have Carrie Grigsby, the new entrant today. We have Joanne Kasotis, that's two. Mrs. Welsh, that's three. Linda Sims, that's four. Sheila Evans, that's five. Fruitcake Lily, that's six. Mary Ellen, that's seven. Judy Summers, that's eight. Carrington, that's nine. Sarah, that's ten. So we have now 10 women in the fruitcake toss this year. So we are up to 10. I'm sure that we have never had 10 women in the fruitcake toss in any past year. So, I don't know. Should we have a women's division? Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. A lot of things going on that night. Like I say, we'll have Buckeyes, otherwise known as Chestnuts, on that particular night. The winner will receive a plaque, thanks to Bob Welsh. Let's take the phone call here and see what the opinion is. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't think a woman's division is necessary.
Now, with about a minute to go, why do you say that?
Well, I just don't think it deals with strength.
See, I don't think the fruitcake toss is a strength event either.
If you have a woman's entry, then you ought to have a kid's, you know, winner.
Well, see, to me, it's... I don't know, because the people who have won, Ed and Donovan Bauer and Ralph Thacker, I'm not necessarily sure that they were the strongest people out there each year. I just think they must have had the best technique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so, you know.
So you say stay away from it.
Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with President Carter, you know, going to... Might have been better if his family wanted to take pictures, but, you know, the paparazzi and the media, you know, like you know, that's why the pictures was taken.
Yeah, well, I'm going to break here, but I want to talk more about that. So give me a call back after the break. I want to talk more about that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're going to break here, but we're going to come back and talk about a lot of things. Stay tuned. Back in 15 minutes.
Your place for the holidays. For legendary broadcaster Charlie Evers and Scott Spears having some holiday fun on air.
Okay, we're back once again here. It's your Christmas program today. Yes, it sure is Christmas, isn't it?
And we've still got another hour after this.
We do.
The Exchange Club is on.